Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT-WPHT-HD-WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will... Broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
See, I always thought the moon was made of cheese, but apparently not. Because according to Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, it's made of gases. All right. She had the same science teacher as the guy who thinks Guam can flip over. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Strap in, because Pennsylvania is all the rage leading up to 2024's presidential election. And it's not looking good for Biden with the energy workers, as I was telling you about yesterday. And there's another statewide race going on that's a little bit under the radar, but it's the attorney general's race in Pennsylvania. And we'll talk about that as well. So we got a lot to talk about today. And I hope you had a good time at the eclipse yesterday. And I hope your eyes are okay today. And you can tell the difference between 8 and 3. And you are good to go. There is an explosive video on social media that I was watching earlier. And it's a CIA guy talking about how the government sets up people who they don't like. Like, sets them up for failure, basically, and goes after them without actually prosecuting them. I'll talk about that with you a little bit later in the show today. It's very, very disturbing, as we are now discussing the reform of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And what I'm hearing is that the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, does not want a warrant requirement when it comes to American citizens. So this is a problem as we talk about the abuse of our government spying on American citizens. And there seems to be no appetite for reforming this among the leadership of the Republican Party. Why? Because they're so embedded with the swamp. That's why. And so you have outliers like Congressman Scott Perry and others who are fighting against this, and Tom Massey and others. But they're in the minority. We'll talk about that as well. But the big story of the day today, which is brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today. For your perfect smile, he's got two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge. Easy to get to from wherever you are. The big story of the day today is that, and I was thinking about this earlier, we talk about the corporate media all the time as the media being run by big corporations. But there's another media in this country. It's state-controlled media, and it's National Public Radio. And, you know, it particularly bothers me. Because they advertise. They put up billboards on 95. You've seen these sometimes. You've been driving down and you see it's HYY is the local NPR affiliate here in Philadelphia. So you see their billboards, and they, I believe their slogan is news, not noise, or something, which I think is some condescending slap at people like me, I guess. I don't know. And they'll put up 5 or 6 in a row. And then they'll put up another five or six in the opposite direction. And they'll move them around throughout the region. So sometimes you'll see them on the Blue Route, and sometimes on the Schuylkill, and sometimes on 95, and whatever. You've seen them. And your taxpayer dollars fund National Public Radio. Now, the reason why it matters so much when you use our sponsors is because we don't take government money. We don't allow the government to pay for us. We rely on advertisers. There's different models, of course, of revenue. We could charge you to listen to the show. We don't do that. We don't have a subscription-based service. Our Odyssey app is free. The show is free. So, you know, when you talk about how I bring up all the sponsors, well, yeah, they're the ones paying the bills. I mean, they're paying the bills. They're keeping us on the air. They're literally keeping us on the air versus National Public Radio, which gets your taxpayer dollars to do this. And during COVID, for example, National Public Radio was putting out whatever the government's talking points were, because there's an old saying in life, don't bite the hand that feeds you. The corporate media serves the interests of the corporations. The corporations were covering for China, for example, about the COVID lab leak, because they make a lot of money in China and they don't want to upset China. So the corporate media and the corporations that own those corporate media outlets, like ABC News, which is owned by literally China, ABC, Disney, China, NBC News, owned by Comcast. Comcast has a lot of movies and TV shows they want to show on all those screens in China. And also CBS, the old Tiffany Network, Viacom, all their streaming networks now. It's all about the screens, you know, and the movies and Paramount and all that stuff. So that's what it's all about. And that's why you don't get unbiased news. You get the corporate media's interpretation of what you're supposed to know. Now, Bill Maher said something recently about this, too. He said journalists, for the most part, are not there to give you both sides of a story. They're there to push a narrative. Like, I'm not pretending I'm a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I'm an opinion guy. I come on the radio and I give you my opinions. You can agree with them. You can disagree with them. But I don't pretend like I'm here as some unbiased person. I have lots of biases and lots of bias. I think biases is the plural. I don't know. I don't care, actually. So don't even bother looking it up or telling me. The point is, I'm not pretending like George Stephanopoulos is, who's another guy who has lots of bias. You know, I jokingly call him the unbiased journalist because he's anything but. I mean, the guy ran Bill Clinton's campaign. He was a Democrat operative for years. Chuck Todd ran Democrat campaigns. He's the Meet the Press Daily guy, or the Chuck Cast, whatever it is now. These guys are not unbiased. Nobody is ever actually unbiased in life. Everybody has a bias towards something. And I mean, at some point in journalism, I'm sure there was a time when people actually tried to cover both sides of a story, but everybody has a bias. And the thing about it is that Fox News doesn't pretend that they don't have a bias towards the right. MSNBC doesn't pretend that they don't have a bias towards the left. But you see, ABC, CBS, and NBC, they do. They pretend. They want you to think they're the so-called mainstream media. That's why I don't ever use the term. I don't use the term mainstream media. There's nothing mainstream about them. Millions of Americans do not get their news from ABC, CBS, and NBC. Thank God. Thank God they don't. They're corporate media. They are the news divisions of those corporations, and everything comes through that. But National Public Radio is funded by the government. So that's state-run media, and that's a whole different animal. So here in Philadelphia, when you turn on WHYY to hear their monotone, boring conversations, know that that's your taxpayer dollars at work. There's a journalist over there. His name is Yuri Berliner. He's a senior business editor at NPR. He wrote a piece, and I want to share a little bit of it with you because it's incredibly eye-opening. It says, I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. The network lost its way when it started telling listeners how to think. And he writes this. He says, you know the stereotype of an NPR listener, an EV-driving, Wordle-playing, tote-bag-carrying coastal elite? He says it doesn't precisely describe me, but it's not far off. I'm Sarah Lawrence, educated, was raised by a lesbian peace activist mother. I drive a Subaru, and Spotify says my listening habits are mostly similar to people in Berkeley. I fit the NPR mold, he says. He's a Sarah Lawrence educated. I guess it's a college. I don't really know. He says, I fit the NPR the model. So when I got a job here 25 years ago, I never looked back. As a senior editor on the business desk where news is always breaking, we've covered upheavals in the workplace, supermarket prices, social media, and AI. It's true that NPR has always had a liberal bent, but during most of my tenure here, an open-minded, curious culture prevailed. We were nerdy, but not knee-jerk activists or scolding. In recent years, however, that has changed. Today, those who listen to NPR or read its coverage online find something different. The distilled worldview of a very small segment of the United States population. If you are conservative, you will read this and say, duh, it's always been this way, but it hasn't, he says. He writes, for decades since its founding in the 1970, a wide swath of America tuned into NPR for reliable journalism and gorgeous audio pieces with birds singing in the Amazon. Millions came to us for conversations that exposed us to voices around the country and the world radically different from our own, engaging precisely because they were unguarded and unpredictable. No image generated more pride within NPR than the farmer listening to Morning Edition from his or her tractor at sunrise. This is back in 2011, though. The audience started tilting a bit to the left. It still bore a resemblance to America at large. 26% of listeners described themselves as conservative at the time, 23% as middle of the road, and 37% as liberal. By 2023, the picture was completely different. Only 11% described themselves as very or somewhat conservative, 21% as middle of the road, and 67% of listeners said they were very or somewhat liberal. We weren't just losing conservatives, we were also losing moderates and traditional liberals. Let me break from his piece for a moment and say, of that 11% that identify as conservative, they're people who go on NPR and listen so that they can help send content to me to make fun of. And they do a great service to the show. People like Johnny Cook, for example, who will find NPR stories and tweet them to me with the hashtag NPR is a joke. And we've covered them over the years. You know, some of them, I mean, idiotic stories like how air conditioning is destroying the world and, I mean, all kinds of different things. I'm sure at some point NPR has said how the eclipse was racist. But there really is. There's a story about that, how the eclipse was racist because it exposed how, even though a lot of black Americans were enjoying the eclipse, they don't have the same access to science or something. I don't know, something. I'm not quite sure, but. So he writes here, and this guy, again, this guy was a 25 years in NPR. He says, an open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR, and now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America. That wouldn't be a problem for an openly a news outlet serving a niche audience, but for NPR, which purports to consider all things, it's devastating both for its journalism and its business model. Well, let's understand their business model as I break from his piece for a moment and say their business model relies heavily on your taxpayer dollars funding it. And of course, the generosity of listeners like you, not me, but that's what they say, you know, and they ask their listeners all the time to give them money. The only time we ever ask you to give us money is for things like the Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. Or if you want to go meet Senator Rand Paul Thursday night to be with Dom Giordano, but you're going to get a signed copy of his book. So that's an event you can attend and you should attend it. It's Politics and Pints Thursday night. Talk about COVID and the great COVID cover-up and Fauci. And that actually leads me to this idea of NPR, because NPR was very complicit in putting out the government's talking points throughout the entire time of COVID and beyond and beyond. He says, like many unfortunate things, the rise of advocacy took off with Donald Trump. As in many newsrooms, his election in 2016 was greeted at NPR with a mixture of disbelief, anger and despair. Just to note, I eagerly voted against Trump twice, but felt we were obliged to cover him fairly. But what began as tough, straightforward coverage of a belligerent, truth-impaired president veered toward efforts to damage or topple Trump's presidency. Persistent rumors that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia over the election became the catnip that drove reporting. At NPR, we hitched our wagon to Trump's most visible antagonist, Representative Adam Schiff. Schiff, who was the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, became NPR's guiding hand, its ever-present muse. By my count, NPR hosts interviewed Schiff 25 times about Trump and Russia. During many of those conversations, Schiff alluded to purported evidence of collusion. The Schiff talking points became the drumbeat of NPR news reports. But when the Mueller report found no credible evidence of collusion, NPR's coverage was notably sparse. Russiagate quietly faded from our programming. Now, let me break from his piece for a moment just to point out to you that when we talk about media bias, we've talked about how the media has bias in terms of how they report things, but also how they don't. In other words, silence is deafening, is an old term. Your silence is deafening. And when they don't cover things, that says a lot. That has a lot to say. I'll give you an example of that. Whenever you hear about a hate crime, a potential hate crime, immediately you'll hear the national story about it. Like, oh, yeah, there's a shoelace. Or there's a noose in a tree. You know, and they'll go, oh, my God. And the whole national news corps will focus on this as evidence of racism. And it turns out to be a shoelace or some guy threw like a rope up there because he was doing pull-ups or something. And it wasn't a noose and nobody was intending to lynch anybody. And the story just goes away. They don't cover the truth of what happened because they don't want to. They want to leave you with the idea that America is this racist, awful place where somebody could at some point decide to lynch somebody in a tree in Philadelphia. So, you know, why correct the record? That's media bias right there. With Trump and Russia, it became the same thing. It was, well, I mean, we could cover the fact that they found no evidence of Russia collusion, or we could just stop talking about it to let people think that there really is Russia collusion. Why correct the record when they've already got you thinking something? They don't want to correct the record. They want you thinking that. So that's what they do. And they do it on purpose. So this guy, again, been there 25 years in NPR, writes this piece over at thefp.com. He says it's one thing to swing and miss on a major story, but unfortunately it happens. You follow the wrong leads, you get misled by sources you trusted, you emotionally invested in a narrative, and bits of circumstantial evidence never add up. It's a bad blow to a big story, but what's worse is to pretend it never happened. To move on with no mea culpas, no self-reflection. Especially when you expect high standards of transparency from public officials and institutions, but don't practice those standards yourself. That's what shatters trust and engenders cynicism about the media. But Russiagate was not NPR's only miscue. In October 2020, the New York Post published the explosive report about the laptop Hunter Biden abandoned at a Delaware computer shop containing emails about his sordid business dealings. With the election only weeks away, NPR turned a blind eye. In fact, here's how National Public Radio's managing editor for news at the time explained the thinking. Ready? Quote, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. And we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions." Close quote. In other words, the attitude of NPR was, okay, the Hunter Biden laptop story, it's not a story. It's not worth your time. It's a distraction. Now, obviously, we know the Hunter Biden laptop story was real. We know it wasn't Russia collusion. We know it wasn't the Russians, the pesky Ruskins, trying to make it seem like it was a Russian psyop. It was real. It was real. But NPR spent no time doing what is known as journalism. They weren't interested. I mean, let's face it, that's the truth, right? They weren't interested in doing journalism because they're there to make their audience happy. So you see, if you listen to National Public Radio, if you're listening to NPR, you don't want to hear about the Hunter Biden laptop. You want to hear how Trump is horrible. You want to hear how Trump is the devil and Russia really is pulling the strings and they just haven't proven it yet. Some point, though, the truth will come out. They don't want to hear anything other than that. And then in that case, how are they any different than MSNBC? They're not, except you pay for NPR with your taxpayer dollars and MSNBC is free to have free to watch if you subscribe to cable or whatever means by which you get your cable news channels because they rely on advertisers. NPR relies on advertisers and also relies on the generosity of its listeners and also relies on the taxpayers. So NPR says we're not going to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. Now, if you are somebody who listens to NPR, you probably do it because you think you're enlightened. You probably think you're better than me and you probably think you're smarter than me. It's okay. A lot of people think they're smarter than me. And most of the time they're right, except when they argue with me on social media because they have no comeback. They just tell me I'm dumb and I just don't read enough and blah, blah, blah. And all that may be true. But usually I would just expect a better retort than just simply that. But it's all right. I've lowered my standards in this day and age. You're reading or watching NPR, listening to NPR, I should say, because you think you are enlightened. You think you are, you know better. But deep down, it's because you are a liberal. Not a classical liberal. You're a neoliberal. You're not for freedom. And you don't want both sides of a story. And you don't want journalism. You want a narrative. You want a narrative. Let's face it. You want a narrative? You want to tune in and hear that Trump is awful and any minute now he's going to go to prison? And if the Hunter Biden laptop story comes out, you don't want to hear about it because that means maybe Joe Biden could be hurt in the election. You see, the corporate media and NPR, there's no difference here. They have the same exact bent. The only difference, though, is that you're not paying through taxpayer dollars for all of the other corporate media outlets that are out there. And they don't pretend. I mean, they do pretend, but we all see through it now. National Public Radio wants to pretend as if they are above all of it. Rise above the noise is what they say. Above the noise, the partisanship, blah, blah, blah. He continues and says, you know, it wasn't a pure distraction or a product of Russian disinformation, as dozens of former and current intelligence officials suggested at the time. The laptop did belong to Hunter Biden. Its contents revealed his connection to the corrupt world of multi-billion dollar influence peddling and its possible implications for his father. The laptop was newsworthy, but the timeless journalistic instinct of following a hot story was being squelched. During a meeting with colleagues, I listened as one of NPR's best and most fair-minded journalists said it was good we weren't following the laptop story because it could help Trump. I'll continue with this, but I think it's amazing. I really do. It's the best thing I've read all day, and I want to continue sharing it with you because it really does just blow the whole comedy hour wide open. The comedy hour that we pretend is journalism in America in the year 2024. Listen, if you want a greener, healthier lawn that's also safer for your family and pets, call my lawn care company, the one I use, the one I trust, Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years, and trust me, you are going to love the results. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for over 35 years. Their certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. Their environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and pets to enjoy. No, not pests, but pets. And the best part is Natural Lawn of America is locally owned. Natural Lawn is locally owned and family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And they are a great sponsor of Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. They are competitively priced and they have a satisfaction guarantee. Trust the leader in organic-based lawn care. I trust them. And I've been using them for years. New customers can take advantage of Natural Lawn's unbeatable offer, free seeding every year. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 800-FREE-SEED or visit naturallawn.com to learn more. Choose the lawn care company that I use and trust, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Now, it's not just NPR, of course. As you know, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. The media in this country, the corporate media, and then you have NPR, which is a taxpayer-funded, state-run media. And they're all the same. I mean, they really are. They're all the same. It's the same thing. This is the key. And this is the key point here. This guy who wrote this piece for NPR, who says, and this is the headline, I've been at NPR for 25 years. 25 years. Guy's been there. 25 years. And here's how we lost America's trust. Yuri Berliner, he says the network lost its way when it started telling listeners how to think. The reality is NPR, like ABC, CBS, NBC, they want to please their listeners and do the bidding of their masters. No question about it. NPR exists now to entertain lefties. Let's be honest. I mean, you're not going there to hear things you wouldn't hear on those other networks. You're not. And if you are, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. But let's pretend for a second you consider yourself to be a middle of the road kind of person. You are in the minority of people that listen to NPR these days. But let's say you are. You're middle of the road person. You want to go to a place where you think, I don't want to hear bias, so it's NPR for me. It's National Public Radio. Otherwise, I got to hear Rich yelling about something, or I got to hear Rachel Maddow yelling about something. I don't want to deal with it, so I want no noise. I want to go to National Public Radio. I want to hear both sides in a very monotone and refreshing manner, because everybody in NPR obviously speaks in a monotone, boring voice designed to make you fall asleep behind the wheel. It's very dangerous, actually, and I don't recommend you do it. Listen, that is. For a variety of reasons, but also for that. It's just dangerous to public safety because it's so freaking boring. But anyway, if you're going there for both sides, and then the point about the Russiagate, they went with Adam Schiff's narrative on that. They didn't tell you that Russiagate wasn't real. Then when the Hunter Biden laptop story came out, as he points out, the laptop was newsworthy, but they didn't want to follow it because they thought it could help Trump. And when the essential facts of the New York Post reporting were confirmed and the emails were verified, independently verified, about a year and a half later, NPR could have fessed up to the misjudgment. But like Russia collusion, he writes, we didn't make the hard choice of transparency. So you didn't get both sides. You didn't get unbiased journalism in a boring monotone. You got boring monotone delivery, but you didn't get unbiased journalism. They didn't want to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story. And when it came out that it was real, they didn't want you to know it was real. They just pretended like it never happened. So if you are a person who's middle of the road and wants to hear both sides, you're going to have to go someplace else because it's not NPR. And it wasn't just that. Politics also intruded into NPR's COVID coverage, he says, most notably in reporting on the origin of the pandemic. One of the most dismal aspects of COVID journalism is how quickly it defaulted to ideological storylines. For example, there was Team Natural Origin, supporting the hypothesis that the virus came from a wild animal market in Wuhan, China. Now, as you know, that's my team. I believe it came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, and I've always said that. Some dude ordered a bat burger, and he did not get it cooked medium, which is the minimum when eating a bat burger. Now, I prefer medium rare, but, you know, if you don't want to start a global pandemic, you'll cook it at least medium well. So I'm Team Natural Origin and always have been. And none of your pesky little data will convince me otherwise. No, this was a disgusting human being who orders raw bat and ate it and caused the pandemic. Except ever since March 2020, I knew it was a lab, and I always said that. I said it was a lab leak theory, and I was called a conspiracy nut, a tinfoil hat conspiracy nut, you know, by a lot of people back then. And I talked about it every day. And I would make jokes about it coming from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli because it's so ridiculous. But if you remember back then, for example, it was racist to say it came from the lab. It was racist. But it was not racist to say that the eating habits of the Chinese people are so filthy and disgusting that they can start a global pandemic by literally how they eat. That's not racist. But totally racist if you said that the lab, that it came from a lab. Like somebody made a mistake or it accidentally got out of there or just, you know, they make human error. That's racist. But if you say that people in Wuhan are so filthy that they'll eat a friggin' raw bat, that's not racist. In fact, that was science. I can't really understand that, but go ahead. You see, I would think it'd be the opposite. I would think the racist thing would be to say that the people of Wuhan are so disgusting that their eating habits, they're so primitive and filthy that their eating habits started a global pandemic. You see, like, I would think that would be the racist of the two. If you're going to accuse either of being racist, I would go with that one. If I was on a panel on a game show, and they said, all right, we'll give you two hypotheses. Which one is racist? I would say probably the one about the dude ordering the raw bat. Like, it's disgusting, and who would do that? No, you got it. Sorry, wrong. The actual answer is lab leak. You go, but why? I mean, leaks happen. How's that racist? I don't understand that. Of course, it wasn't, but they wanted you to think it was, so you'd stop talking about it because they wanted to cover for China. Corporate media did. You know, corporate media wanted to cover for their big customer, China, so they would happily tell you it was racist. In fact, the ambassador from China to the United States of America was on with Margaret Brennan of CBS News early on in the early days of COVID, the good old days, you know, and he said it's racist to argue that it came from a lab. And he said it was very unfair, racist. And so they ran with that narrative. But National Public Radio did it for another reason. And that reason is because they wanted to be on Team Fauci and the government, not Trump, the other people, the shadow government, the deep state. So he writes here, the lab leak theory came in for rough treatment almost immediately. It was dismissed as racist or a right-wing conspiracy theory. Anthony Fauci, Asanto Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, you always have to say that by law, of course, and former NIH head Francis Collins, who has a beautiful singing voice, representing the public health establishment, were the most notable critics of the lab leak theory. And that was enough, he says, for NPR. We became fervent members of Team Natural Origin, even declaring that the lab leak had been debunked by scientists. It's true. That was a story they posted on April 22nd of 2020 with the headline, and this is WHYY, scientists debunk lab accident theory of pandemic emergence. That was the headline. But it wasn't the case. He says, when word first broke of a mysterious virus in Wuhan, a number of leading virologists immediately suspected it could have leaked from a lab. They were conducting experiments there on bat coronaviruses. This was in January 2020, during calmer moments before a global pandemic had been declared and before fear spread and politics intruded. Reporting on a possible lab leak soon became radioactive. Fauci and Collins apparently encouraged the March publication of an influential scientific paper known as The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2. Its authors wrote, they didn't believe any type of laboratory-based scenario is plausible. But the lab leak hypothesis wouldn't die, and understandably so. In private, even some of the scientists who penned the article dismissing it sounded a different tune. One of the authors, Andrew Rumbaut, an evolutionary biologist from Edinburgh, wrote to his colleagues, quote, I literally swivel day by day thinking it is a lab escape or natural. Over the course of the pandemic, a number of investigative journalists made compelling, if not conclusive, cases for the lab leak. But at NPR, we weren't about to swivel or even tiptoe away from the insistence with which we backed the natural origin story. We didn't budge when the Energy Department, the federal agency with the most expertise about laboratories and biological research, concluded, albeit with low confidence, that a lab leak was most likely the explanation for the emergence of the virus. Instead, we at NPR introduced our coverage of that development on February 28th, 2023, by asserting confidently that, quote, the scientific evidence overwhelmingly points to a natural origin for the virus. 2 years later, and they were still doubling down. When a colleague on our science desk was asked, why were you so dismissive of the lab leak theory? The response was odd. The colleague compared it to the Bush administration's unfounded argument that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, apparently meaning we won't get fooled again. But these two events were not even remotely related. Again, politics were blotting out the curiosity and independence that ought to have been driving our work. Now, he offers other examples as well. Of areas where NPR completely gave up any semblance of being independent, any semblance of trying to be up the middle, any semblance of that. But he also goes into why and how it happened too. And that's a very interesting piece of the puzzle here too. It really is. And it's something to be worried about going forward with the state of media in general in the United States of America, because people on the left have wised up that radio can be a very powerful tool to influence public opinion. I know. And for years, they tried to shut us down. Now they're just talking about just buying us out or buying us and then shutting us down. In NPR's case, it happened back in 2019 when the CEO, John Lansing, came around. He came to NPR from a federally funded agency that oversees Voice of America. Do you know about Voice of America? That's another one of your taxpayer-funded gifts. Like others who have served in the top job at NPR, he was hired primarily to raise money and to ensure good working relations with hundreds of member stations that acquire NPR's programming, like WHYY here in Philadelphia, which sucks, by the way, and is boring. And if you're listening right now, you're probably asleep. Not if you're listening to me. If you're listening to HYY, I mean. Anyway, after working mostly behind the scenes, Lansing became a more visible and forceful figure after the killing of George Floyd in May 2020. It was an anguished time in the newsroom, personally and professionally. So for NPR staffers, Floyd changed both the conversation and the daily operations at NPR. And what they wound up doing from the top was very, very important at NPR to know. They said, as a company, we need to be agents of change when it comes to identifying and ending systemic racism. Listening and deep reflection is necessary, but not enough. They must be followed by constructive and meaningful steps forward. I will hold myself accountable for this, the CEO said. And NPR itself was part of the problem. The CEO said in confessional language that leaders of public media must be aware of how we ourselves have benefited from white privilege in our careers. We must understand the unconscious bias we bring to our work and interactions, and we must commit ourselves, body and soul, to profound changes in ourselves and our institutions. And that would become the North Star. That would become their North Star after that. And race and identity would become paramount in nearly every aspect of NPR. They were given unconscious bias trainings. I had to go through mine. The first question, this is not his piece, this is me talking now, but I had to go through that too. And the first question that I was asked is, do you have unconscious bias? And my answer was no. And I thought I was done. Strap in, 45 minutes later, I was told why I was a horrible human being. Matt DeSantis, have you done your unconscious bias training yet?
No.
You've only had to do...
Stop
no.
mentioning it, because HR is going to contact me, and I don't want to sit through, you know, 60 minutes of that.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes, by the way. Just check yes, you have unconscious bias, and then I think they let you off the hook. Don't check no like I did, and then you got it. You know what I mean? There's nowhere you go after that. You're done.
I thought you had a good strategy, in fairness.
Yeah, I figured, do you have unconscious bias? No? All right. And I started to walk away. They're like, not so fast. Get back here and sit down. We're about to tell you all the ways you do and why you are a horrible human being. I'll continue with this, but it came from a million-dollar grant from the NPR Foundation and how it went on and on to keep going for progressive change, using NPR as the platform for that. Yeah, these are scary times for America. Where do you turn for the truth, right? Well, I tell you, everything I tell you is what I personally believe, and I believe it in my heart, and I can't come on the radio for 4 hours a day and fake it. I just can't. Even if I lose out on my opportunity to get a Saturday morning TV show, I love my hair too much to ever just give you the political opinion I think that you want to hear or I think they want to hear. So I'll always just have to be just me. Me with my huge coif of hair. I do have a haircut scheduled for tomorrow. Do you see this thing? The humidity? It's making it pop. I look like Bob Ross.
I actually don't think it looks that bad right now.
I had put about a pound of gel. I have more gel in my hair today than Gavin Newsom.
Oh, you have to do the gel. I have the same issue. If it gets too long, it poofs out, and I got to contain it with a little gel, a little product.
Yeah, I poofed out like a French poodle this morning. That's what it looked like. And my wife said to me, you look like Bob Ross, the painter. You got to go get that cut. So I'm not giving up this coif even for a Saturday morning TV show. You know what I mean? So don't expect me to endorse Joe Biden anytime soon or ever, for that matter. Just going to be me. But we do rely, of course, on our sponsors, people like Cherry Hill Volvo. In fact, we're broadcasting live every day from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. And that's why I hope you'll support them, because they keep the lights on for us here, literally, at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And if you've been by Cherry Hill Volvo recently, you may have noticed the dealership renovation going on, and you certainly noticed the road construction. But don't worry about it, because once you get past that, and it's easy to get past it, you will find the dealership is as comfortable and welcoming as ever. And you will also find the most amazing specials going on right now. Their renovation special. I picked up my new XC60 last month. It was a great experience. Everybody treated me great. They treat everybody great at Cherry Hill Volvo. And right now is an incredible time to head there, because they are loaded with offers for spring and their renovation sale continues. The pricing is always aggressive. They are going to find the best price for you to get you in that Volvo. Judith and Yosef, the entire team, will make sure of that fact. When you choose Cherry Hill Volvo, you are choosing the pricing and attention that you deserve, and you are choosing the studio sponsor of Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. So if you love what we do here, please show them some love too. Cherry Hill Volvo is right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Make sure you tell them I sent you. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
The musical stylings of Francis Collins.
My family now can leave our home, visit stores and free.
Former NIH director. Team Natural Origin, Team Bat Burger. If only. You know, if I was getting married now, I'd make this our wedding song. I would.
It'd be a short marriage.
True. And whoever's getting married, this should be your wedding song. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Would you pay him to sing there in person?
Yeah, with a ukulele. Right? I mean, I assume he's using a ukulele, I think.
Looks like a guitar.
No, he's got an acoustic guitar there.
Yeah. I'd want a ukulele. I would insist. If I'm going to get Francis Collins and the Sunshine... Sunettes, whatever the band... What's the name of the band?
Oh, he has a whole band?
Yeah. It's like Francis Collins and the Natural Origin Theory, I think, is the name of the band, if I'm not mistaken. Francis Collins and the Bat Burgers? Well, that'd be a good name for a band. I'd want a ukulele, though. I'd insist on it. Say, you play that song on a ukulele or you're not playing at my wedding. Damn you. Just so... Feels so good. And then, of course, I would serve everybody Bat Burger, you know, as a wedding entree. Little Bat Burger foie gras, anybody? Foie gras. And NPR is not alone in this, by the way, but I'm impressed with this guy for writing this piece. I applaud him for it. I think it's wonderful that he's actually coming out and saying all these things. But he also goes in, and I'll explore more of this throughout the show. And there's other things, too, in terms of what they're told and how to report things. Like, for example, at NPR, when you're talking about transgender coverage guidance, they're now told to avoid the term biological sex, for example. You can't use certain beetles, not the band, but like the insect, and bird names because they're racially problematic. And they're worried that some will then divide people if you talk about bird names. Like, that's an actual thing at NPR. You have to justify looting with claims that fears about crime are racist. And you have to suggest that Asian Americans who oppose affirmative action have been manipulated by white conservatives. These are all the things he's alleging here that goes on at NPR. And the truth of it is, because it's all driven by stopping Trump, stopping Republicans, and pushing a narrative that you pay for. You know, Sage Steele is a very, very brave woman. If you heard her with Tucker Carlson last week, and I don't know if Mike played any of the audio of that when I was gone, but she told Tucker Carlson how ESPN completely made her change her tune about coverage. And Sage Steele's very, very brave. And she said eventually that, you know, enough was enough and she had to leave. But they had this interview between her and Biden, and it was scripted. The whole thing was completely scripted. In fact, let's get the interview if we can get it. And it was scripted. And that she said after that, that was enough. But it wasn't just that. I mean, there were other things, too. But she was told at the time, ESPN, which is owned by ABC, which is owned by Disney, which is owned by China. So ABC, Disney, China. And ESPN told her, no uncertain terms. She said, this was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured. And I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go. The White House directly oversaw the interview questions, approving what could be asked, and that the White House was heavily involved because it does not trust the president, who will be 82 this year, to go off script. So they had the questions and they had the answers, too. All ahead of time. And she came out and blew the whistle on that. Not surprising, though, is it? So we have more people now pushing back on all this stuff. Catherine Herridge is going to testify before the House committee next week or the week after, at some point very soon, and talk about her experience at CBS, why they ousted her. And I can't wait to hear that conversation. I can't wait to hear her tell the truth because she was brave and they don't like that over there at CBS. So we have a lot to talk about today. We're just getting started. We're just getting warmed up. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. But one thing I can tell you is that come here to Talk Radio 1210 WPHG for the truth, because we don't have an agenda other than we're allowed to just give our opinions. And you can like my opinion or you can dislike my opinion. The one thing we can all agree on is that my hair is spectacular. Spectacular. And I'm not shaving it. So Saturday morning CNN show be damned. All right? Not going to go bald. Not going to back Biden. It's radio for me. Forever, I guess. I don't know. I'm itchy because I got an allergy shot today. Friggin' arm is all like a softball.
I can hear you itching your arm over the microphone.
I know. It's like so itchy. Ugh. But listen, if you are ready to lose that winter weight, it's time to shed the fat and get ready for the warmer weather of spring with NJ Diet. For over a decade, they have helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You are fully supervised the entire time to make sure you are burning fat, not just losing water. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Locations in King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, and Newark, Delaware, are available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. You can do this, and they're there for you every step of the way. Get slimmer before the summer with njdiet.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.